from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Picks up his fifth shutout of the season.
We've gone over the numbers a lot, and now there's equally impressive numbers to match. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen gets his deal. It was done yesterday ahead of arbitration, and ultimately now Marty Baron, he's got himself a 5-year deal, just under $5 million per, coming in at 4.75. And there's a lot of ways to digest and project and place the numbers, all the numbers now that belong to Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a lot of ways to digest it. I'm trying to simplify things when it comes down to, like, my brain is on overload right now, trying to think, is that a good deal? Is that a great deal? Is that an okay deal? I don't think anybody thinks that's a bad deal, right? Because Luukkonen played so well in the second half. The numbers were going to be roughly around the $4 million or so on a short term, and now you go 5 years at 4.75. But I'm trying to see if this is a good, great, exceptional, like, how do I qualify it? And the biggest thing I can say, Duffer, is that it's just a matter of what you think Luukkonen is going to turn out to be, right? And I think that's what the exercise always is when you sign somebody to a contract. What are they going to be? But if Luukkonen is going to be what he did in the second half, it's going to be a bargain. It's going to be an excellent contract, right? So that's the way I look at it.
Yes, and it's been a newsworthy week for the Sabres as Beck Malenstein, of course, prior to Luukkonen getting his deal, was able to also avoid arbitration and land himself a 2-year deal as he gets set to join the blue and gold and make an impact this season, which will be his first as a Buffalo Sabre. More on Luukkonen coming up. Beck is good enough to join us here, and it's nice to get introduced to you, Beck. Thanks for joining us here on Sabres Live. How are things with you?
Not too bad. How are you guys doing?
Really good. My question, of course, is more about the family business. Like, what's on tap right now at the barn?
Oh, well, they got a whole mix of stuff going. So, family business is doing well. It's packed on the weekends. Everything from an IPA to a lager and everything in between. They're having a lot of fun with it. And, it's fun to just pop over on a weekend and just enjoy the atmosphere.
Are you just wrapping up a workout? Is that like your morning routine now around noon? like workouts are done and then you get to do your day?
Well, yeah, we're only 9 o'clock here on the West Coast. Yes. So you guys actually, you snuck me out right in the middle of sprints. So you're doing me a favor. Give me a break.
That's because of all the IPAs and all of those. You got to sprint them out in the morning. You don't know this guy, but Scotty Metcalf, Duffer would know, is a Rochester American's a legend, and Metter would get on the bike the next day and basically say, oh, that's the one beer I had last night. Oh, that's the other one I had last night, sweating it out. So that's the way it goes.
Yeah, just a couple extra sprints on the turf to even it out, right?
Yeah. Marty, Beck's the first one to ever say that we're doing him a favor by having him on the show. So this is fantastic. Beck, in all seriousness, I mean, obviously, you know, you're at a really, I think, unique stage of your career. You clearly established yourself with the Capitals last year, but this is another new opportunity and chapter for you. How do you view it all now, especially with the contract done and the focus clearly on getting ready for September?
Yeah, I think, you know, having that contract wrapped up now really just boosts the energy overall, right? Super excited about it. It was a little bit of a shock, honestly, at first. I didn't see it coming. So, you know, probably took me a couple hours there to just digest all of it. And then once I was through that, I mean, the future looks so bright in Buffalo and just looked like a really great opportunity for me and my family to come there and be amongst a young group of guys with a really bright future. So, like I said, you know, at this stage now, it's just everything's go and really, really excited to get out there.
Now, we were just talking about you on Tuesday and your penalty killing, you know, aspect of your game. You played over 220 a game on the penalty kill. Were you always like the first guy over the board? Do you anticipate this to be a part of your role with Buffalo? And how did that come about? Most players always are, you know, the highly skilled 13, 14, 15 year olds, and then you have to make a change. When did that change happen with you that all of a sudden you're like, oh, I got to find that role?
Yeah, I mean, it was always a little bit different for me. I mean, growing up, you know, I was always big and I was always physical. I liked playing that style of game. You know, my offense really just came from being a little bit faster and a little bit stronger than guys as I grew up. And then once I hit junior, is kind of when I had to start, you know, learning that if I wanted to take that next step to pro, what my role was going to look like, and continuing to work on the offensive side, the skilled side, but realizing that being good on the penalty kill, being good defensively, you know, blocking shots, forechecking, that kind of stuff was going to be the, you know, the first step to get me into that door. So, testament to my coaches that I had throughout junior. And then once I started in the American League, they really hammered that home with me, development staff to coaches. They just, you know, everything was about that process. Taking pride in the penalty kill, taking pride in the defensive zone. And it's just really allowed me to feel very comfortable, in growing in that role.
This should have crossed my mind earlier, but when you mentioned development, did you have some dealings with Michael Pekka along the way?
No, that was, I actually tore my Achilles the one year that Michael was, was in Washington. Yeah. So I unfortunately missed him, but I heard nothing but good things about him.
Yeah. Obviously that relationship was strong between he and Laviolette as it continues in New York. But the one thing that Sabre fans are craving the most, obviously, is the opportunity to get back to the playoffs. And you were part of a team last year that many didn't expect to get to the playoffs. So what was the ingredient that you feel like is, you know, kind of paramount to any and all team success?
Yeah. I mean, I think anybody could look at our, all the numbers and statistics last year, and they could very easily argue we probably didn't belong to be there, right? We were, I think it was a minus 37 or 40 goal differential. That doesn't happen. But realistically, you know, if you look at the recipe that we had, it was, if we got ourselves into those tight games, we would find a way to win them, right? It was 2-1, 3-2, 1-0. And we just had a belief within the group. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, you have a character locker room, which honestly, from the guys that I know in Buffalo and have spoken to already, they say it's an amazing group of guys that get along really well. And obviously playing against them, there was a ton of skill in that lineup. So you take that and you just add that ounce of belief and maybe a little bit of defensive detail to shut down those tight games. And you know, you realize how small that margin is. I think we were in the midst of that five-team shuffle for the last 15 minutes of that last game, right? So every point matters. And I think when you have a group that really cares about each other, you know, those hard moments just get a little bit easier. And that seems to be the difference between winning and losing.
We're showing your highlight reel tape from last year on MSG right now. For those watching on MSG on GR, well, you're not hearing anything. But one thing I can tell you is that everything has speed. You're one of those guys. You were the first one with the trade, and then the Sabres added, you know, McLeod, they added Obi Kubel, they added Lafferty, Zucker, a lot of speed. What makes you a fast player? Some would say it's their legs, some would say it's their puck playing and whatever. What makes you a fast player?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think it's a pretty easy argument that it's legs first. I've had to learn to try to get the hands to keep up with the feet kind of thing as I've grown through my career. Still have some learning to do at times. But no, for me, it's just continuing to try to get quicker. But it's, you know, the legs feed the wolf. And those are, for me, if I can get those going early in a game, you know, get a couple bumps, get physically engaged, legs feel a little bit lighter, feel like you're moving quicker. And that's a huge key to my game.
Did you talk first with Lindy Ruff or text first with Lindy Ruff?
Phone call from Lindy right away. Yeah, no, no text messages.
No? And how was the conversation?
No. it was great. Yeah, I mean, I think one of the first things he was excited to have another Western League guy on the team, which was great. I mean, I was happy to hear it. So, no, it was really good. All the talks I've had with all the assistant coaches and Kevin, it's been nothing but, you know, getting me really excited to be there. The future, like I said, looks really, really bright. It's and it's a great opportunity that I'm stepping into.
Okay, so when you heard the trade had happened, the first thing most players, I got traded from Buffalo to Philly. First thing I, well, not the first thing I asked. The first thing I ask is where, and the second thing I ask is what was the return? I wanted to know what I was traded for a second round pick. I felt pretty good about it. Is that something you were like, oh, you know, second rounder. Yeah, that's pretty good for me too.
Yeah, no, honestly, I think that's kind of what made it make sense for me. At first, like I said, I was shocked. I was waiting on a contract in Washington. I was getting a phone call and I was like, this is odd. I think I'd be hearing from my agent about this. And then he dropped the trade rumor. I was like, oh, I had to regather myself and figure it out. But no, the return it really just shows you're going to a place that values you and that wants you. And as a player, I think you can agree that's all you ever want. You want to go where you're wanted. And, you know, like I said, it makes you really excited to step into a new role with a new group of guys.
One significant date on the calendar before you get here to start training camp. What's the highlight of the summer ahead? One thing that you've got planned to do?
Oh boy. Well, I was sitting down with my wife last night and realized the summer seems like it's just about over already. It's crazy. I mean, biggest thing probably coming up is middle of August. My roommate for my first 2 years pro is getting married. So Garrett Pilon, that's in East Belleville in Ottawa now. So looking forward to that and just getting to spend a fun weekend with a really close friend.
Sounds good.
What did you find any spot here in Buffalo to stay? Did you talk to some of the players as to where you guys are going to stay? There's some city guys, there's some suburb guys. We got a little bit of everything here in Buffalo.
Yeah, no, that's what I was hearing. We really had our work cut out for us trying to pick a spot. I had some good talks with Tucky. I was fortunate enough. He's come out and trained here in Vancouver a couple times, so gotten to know him a little bit. He was saying, yeah, there's a few guys out in the Clarence Williamsville areas and then a few guys down in that waterfront area. And my wife and Abe Kubel's wife are very close. They found a place in the waterfront area and we were fortunate enough to find one there too. So we're going to be, down there near the rink. Looks beautiful in pictures. I have no idea what it's going to be like throughout the year, but no, it
beautiful
looks like
now.
Nice,
it's really beautiful now with some nice days.
Yes.
Yeah. So looking forward to the September. September's there, and then we'll brace for the cold after that.
I was going to say, proceed directly from the Pilon wedding, since you're going to be in Ontario, and get here for as many extra days as you can while summer lasts. Beck, thanks so much for the time. Right. Really appreciate it. And back to the workout, I suppose.
Absolutely. Pleasure to meet you guys. Thanks for having me.
There he is, Beck Malenstein. And, you know, it's kind of cool. We can give you a little more on Beck as part of our upcoming embedded series as far as how the acquisition went down. And we will get to that a little bit later on in the show. Heavy pause there, Marty.
I don't want to say I've been traumatized, but our past experience with sometime internet troubles, I never know if it's I'm off the Zoom, if somebody else is off the Zoom, if we, but you know what? We've been able to deal with it pretty good. But what a guy, right? Beck Malenstein, happy to like get to know him. Lots of energy. I love that he is, it's 9 a.m. on the West Coast. He's already doing sprints in the morning, getting the legs going because he said that's part of his speed game. I'm really excited to see what he brings. And when we were at the draft and the trade happened, I was down the table from a bunch of Washington reporters, and you know, they were like, you guys are going to love him. You guys are going to enjoy him. So it was definitely somebody I was looking forward to see what he would do when he got to Buffalo.
Okay, on to Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Yes. Obviously, it's the more recent news, but the Malmstein deal was done earlier in the week, and now Luukkonen's got himself a five-year deal, 4.75 per. Now, if you're going to Puckpedia, which who isn't these days, you could look at goaltenders for the upcoming season as far as their cap hit is mm-hmm. concerned. Now, it's an interesting list. Luukkonen will slot in right now, tied for 20th on that list.
You still have Carey Price and Robin Lehner in there. We do the same research.
And Cal Peterson.
So but those he's are, still playing.
Right. But those are three that are not expected to have a massive impact on their teams.
Yes.
The list also includes Grubauer, Merzlikins, yes. and Kemper, all of whom are not coming off of very good seasons. And yes. he will slot down one position, presumably, between now and then when the Swayman deal comes in, which will undoubtedly be higher than what Luukkonen comes in yes. at. So, for argument's sake, as far as goaltenders expected to be a number one slash impact player for the team, he's going to come in like 16th, 17th, 18th, right?
Yes.
The league has 32 teams. 16 make the playoffs.
Yeah.
They're not there yet. The goal is to get in that group, right? And we gave you all the Luukkonen numbers within the last 2 weeks in our many discussions that centered around Swayman and what his process to a deal was like last summer, like Samsonov, what his process was like. You referenced the Ottinger deal. And the one thing that I just want to reinforce to people is even though Luukkonen didn't start as the starter at the beginning of last year, and we often reference post-Christmas on. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter was, for the entirety of last season, he was 12th in wins, 18th in save percentage, and 12th in goals against average. So when you marry that with the numbers that were produced yesterday in the contract of 5 years, 4.75 per, it all seems to line up. It's just still kind of interesting to me that it's as high as it is. And I'm with you. Like the first thing you said today was you were trying to figure out, like, is it a home run? Is yeah. it a good deal? Is it just okay? I think it is exactly what the market bears. And I think when you realize that, there's really not a lot of need to just overthink it. Right? Like he kind of slots in perfectly right now based on his career number of games played, which is 100, and his age and the situation with this team that he finds himself in.
I think the biggest thing is what is the other road to get to a contract with Luukkonen? Would have been a 1 year arbitration award or and that's probably going to be, it was going to be over 4 million or maybe 4.1, 4.2, maybe 4. And then you're thinking, okay, now Luukkonen plays a whole year and then he's a year away from UFA and you've got your number one goalie because you want him to do good. You expect him to do good this year. And then all of a sudden, he's going to sign another 5 or 6 year deal after that 1 year arbitration or short term deal, and you got to pay him $5.5 to $6 million over the next 5-6. So how do you balance the two? How do you balance in we're going to go longer term, 5 years, and try to keep that number very team friendly? Look, mm-hmm. if Luukkonen's your number one goaltender, and this year you have James Reimer, let's say, as your backup at $1 million, but in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years down the road, it would be Luukkonen and Levi, is $1 million, $1.5 million, whatnot. You're at $6.25 million for your two goalies in a market where goalies are making $8.5, $9, $10 million. I think some, very few, but or you combine the two goalies together and you're in the 8, 9, 10 range. You're at six and a quarter. I think you're putting yourself in a really good place.
Okay. Thank you for almost answering it before I could ask it. And I don't know if I agree with what your statement just was, but my second question on the list was, what does this 5-year deal for Luukkonen mean for Levi?
Well, Well, Levi is still a question mark right now. And more we have discussed it over and over on this show, and more I go home and I think about it, and I cut my grass and I think about it, I'm saying Levi is still a prospect. Levi is still a guy that I think starts in the American League this year to develop, to play a lot of games, which means year one of Luukkonen's deal is still a Levi kind of preparing and developing. Year two is a Levi as a backup goaltender. Year three is, okay, you want to play a little bit more, but there's a healthy, like you're already 3 years into Luukkonen's contract before you have Levi really fighting for that spot, right? And I think that's really...
You're going into year three of Levi too.
Yeah, but Levi's contract is going to be, in my opinion, easier to sort out than Luukkonen would have been right now.
Maybe.
I get. And it's never easy to say. Like, it's not my money and it's not my job. I get it. But also...
If Levi has a good camp, which I'm expecting, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And he beats out Reimer, then there's like, what would be...
I'm going to use my personal experience, Duffer. I beat out Rolly in 99-2000.
Yeah, yeah.
By
yeah.
a mile. And what
Dude,
did...
25 years ago.
I know, but what did they say? Hey.
I know.
Go back to Rochester. Then I came up because the opportunities were there. But I'm just saying, I don't care if Levi beats out Reimer. I'm thinking...
I do.
Unless Luukkonen really is not good in camp and Reimer is not good in camp and Levi's the best, then
The Luukkonen thing now, like... He could have a terrible camp and everyone's going to know he's going to start opening night.
Yeah, and they got to give him
a good few
weeks to like get going.
But it is important, I think, for Levi here to have a great camp and win the job.
It is like, important. Yes, it is. But I don't think it changes where he starts.
So you're already resigning him to Rochester?
I think that's where it goes, yes. I think that's where it starts. And then, you know what? I'd sit across the table from Devin Levi right now and I'd say, that is good. That is good for you. And that also is good for the Sabres.
Because you would say that to your kids, whether you believed it, though, or not.
I would massage it a better way, but I would still say the positive out of the situation is that you're going to play, you're going to continue to develop. And the opportunities for you to play NHL games will be there this year. Teams all use three goalies at some point in the season. It will be there. But the more and more I have thought about it, the more and more I think this is the plan in my head to say, Luukkonen, Reimer, Levi, have the best camp. Go out. Don't give up a single goal in camp. You're still going to go, well, maybe not, but I'm just saying, have a great camp and start in Rochester.
I love it. The longer you talk, you start...
Well,
putting
if you
self-doubt
don't give up
in your own assertions,
you make 150 saves and in four games or whatever, you may be given an opportunity in the NHL.
Wouldn't it be better for the Sabres if Levi is all world in camp and then proceeds to play 30 games backing up Luukkonen and establishes himself and earns a really good 3 year times $2.5 to $3 million contract?
Well, I mean,
because then you're back to what you talked about. You're at $8 million invested in goaltending.
Set, yes.
And everybody's happy and comfortable with a tandem that they're trying to believe in right now based on youth and projection and promise.
Okay. What the
if Levi doesn't have the year and then you just have to keep stopgapping with a Reimer-esque backup every year.
No.
Like it can still work, obviously. Everybody does this.
Yeah.
But wouldn't the best case scenario be Levi grabbing 25 to 30 games and playing really, really, really well?
I think that would be a really good scenario, but they made the point to go get Reimer. And I think Reimer $1 million is, hey, you're our number two. And Levi, maybe technically Levi's the number two, but he's still in Rochester to develop. I think the best case scenario, and this is just looking at numbers, is Levi has a really, really strong season in Rochester, plays 5 to 10 games in the NHL, then signs a one-year contract at $1 million one way, whatever, right? To be the backup. And then after that, you get him the 3 year deal at $2 million. So you buy yourself an extra year. And now you're in year four of Luukkonen's contract already. You've got 4 years of set. Reimer for 1 year, Levi for three. You've got 4 years of said goaltenders. It's the old argument of the college guys that burn a year, right? Sometimes it works because you get to sign your second contract faster. Sometimes it doesn't work because the second contract is not as much money. Right now, Levi playing in Rochester obviously would be a lesser contract after this season.
Yeah, I don't even know what direction to go other than the fact that when did Reimer sign?
July 1st? He signed, on the 1st. I think they had in mind to go get somebody else.
Right, but I was sitting here, you were talking like a Wedgewood or a Lankinen, and I was talking about Driegger.
Driegger, yes.
Right? And then Reimer ends up tilting the scales because he's played forever and hasn't played in the AHL in forever, right?
Yeah.
And, but I don't see the door being closed anymore on Levi with Reimer than I do would have with Driegger.
Yeah, no. If last year they hadn't gone through their three goalie system for as long as they did, and it just really put them in a bad situation roster wise, I believe I would say, okay, well, maybe they start the season with three goalies and play it that way with Levi and Reimer and Luukkonen. It's not going to happen. I really feel that last year's experience now puts that aside. So you got to make some hard decisions. You got to make some hard decisions. And that's the way it goes. Just before, I know we're going to have to take a break in a couple of minutes. We still have tons to talk about with the team of the day and everything. But when it comes to Duffer, is it an okay deal? Is it a good deal? Is it a fantastic deal? Is it a home run type situation? I was trying to find, like, what are home run situations that were contracts that were signed early in player's career, right? NHL career. Like Igor Shesterkin that played 47 NHL games. Mm-hmm. He signed a four-year deal at $5.67 million. I remember when they signed him, it was like, oh, they got Georgiev, and now they're giving that money to Shesterkin? Mm-hmm. That was a home run. He had played 47 NHL games. Like, Luukkonen's played a lot more than 47, but it could still turn out to be. Now Shesterkin is all world. Juuse Saros had played 155 games, but never as a true number one. He kept playing 20, 25, 30 with Pekka. They signed him to a four-years, $5 million deal. Now, Saros got already an extension that's got to pay him a ton of money, and he's been all world.
Not a ton.
What's that?
Not a ton. Well below market value.
Well below market value. Yes, you're right. But it's more than the $5 million that he was making, and more than the $4.75. I call that a ton of money. That's the plus minus 150.
Does it fill the back
right
of your used pickup truck?
Yes, exactly. Thatcher Demko had played 72 NHL games when he signed a five-year deal at $5 million, right? I could say that Demko is a home run when you look at it. Now, there's injuries, but I think Demko is a home run. Now, on the flip side, you mentioned the Kemper and the Cal Peterson and the Grubauer and Elvis Merzlikens, right? So it's just a matter of how do you work? Like, Korpisalo was a bad deal for Ottawa. They still were able to move out of it, right? They still get, like, I'm saying, if worse comes to worse, you move on from it or whatever, but I think it could very much be a home run. We've seen those type of deals being home runs.
You say that, and I'm still in disbelief that they get out from under it. And at some point, other GMs are going to stop doing other GMs' favors. Yeah, like,
Not only did they get out from under it in Ottawa, they got out from under it while acquiring Linus Ullmark.
A Vezina Trophy winner.
I know, like, exactly. Oh, now, this is a home run. So maybe Ottawa did not sign him, but they did get the home run in trading him.
By the way, Cal Peterson had played half the number of games that Luukkonen has played when he got 3 years, $5 million per.
Yeah.
And Cal has played basically the same amount of NHL games since, and it has not worked out for either he, then the Kings, or currently the Flyers. However, you never know what's around the corner, and maybe Cal has a bounce-back season in an interesting time in Philadelphia, which is so far down the alphabet that we'll be close to September probably when we start talking about the Flyers. But we do have a team of the day coming. coming up. And I have more questions about Luukkonen to pose to you. And we have quarter season plans available now. So this is all very exciting. It's what day of the week? Thursday? I don't know, because we were off yesterday and maybe tomorrow's Friday.
Thursday.
I'm not super familiar with Fridays anymore. So I think tomorrow's Friday. Anyway, the quarter season plan, pick your seats, choose from three great plans, emphasis on great, the weekend, the weekday, the all-star plan, prices as low as $26 per seat per game. Go to sabres.com/partial. We are only halfway through today's edition of Sabres Live. We're back after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We got the deal done now.
I'll get it done.
I'm gonna call him right now, and then I'll flip you his number so you can text him or call him. Well, hey, I know it's never easy. You wake up and you get a phone call, but I just want to tell you how excited we are. You're a guy that we've been looking at for a while and targeting, and you bring exactly what we need in our lineup. So we're really, really excited to get you.
Malenstein is physical. He's hard-nosed, he's direct, he was everything that we are looking for. And I like, there are other trade potential opportunities we could have, but I like that we have a player that also can be with us longer than a year. And so it makes you feel a little better giving a second round pickup when you think it's an asset that you could have with you.
Beck Malentine joined us earlier in the show. He's a big part of the next Sabres Embedded coming out next week. And you know, it was great to hear from Beck. Barnside Brewing Company, if you're heading out to British Columbia this year, by the way, in the summertime. Yeah, that's the family business. And Beck's got himself a 2-year deal, just over 1.3 per. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has himself a 5-year deal as we roll here on Sabres Live. And I'm about to string together some words that I have never said on this show. And I might only say him once between now and February, but it's relevant because of Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
He's a lot taller than you thought he was going to be, UPL?
Nope. Been familiar with that since his days in junior.
He is a lot bigger in person than I thought he ever was going to be when I first saw him. I was like, oh my God, that guy's big.
I have little to no regard for this mid-season delay in the regular season called the Four Nations Face-Off, but I have to assume that Luukkonen might well be the backup to UC Saros for Finland. Agree? Disagree?
Yes, agree. I think that, funny enough, right? Luukkonen went to the World Juniors for Finland a couple of times. The second time around, he wasn't going to be part of the team. And then he played so well in Sudbury that they had to consider him. And he was so good at the World Juniors as well and battled through a lot of adversity injury-wise, going to Cincinnati in the ECHL, Rochester, COVID year, three goalies. I think this is the type of player that Finland would want on their team, even just for the, hey, look at like how hard of a nations we battle and we pick players that are, you know, true to that. And Luukkonen's definitely been showing that.
Right. But any Finnish goaltender last year who played more than 20 games, Luukkonen had the best save percentage. Yes. So this is not a token appointment. What I'm saying is, isn't this a potential large feather in his cap that he may well earn the number two slot on Finland behind UC Saros? The others in competition essentially are Eustace Annunen, who may get a lot more time in Colorado this year because he was so good in limited duty last year. Mm. And who?
Well, I mean, Korpisalo, he's Finn, so maybe you look at him. But
like Lukanen has soared past Korpisalo right now.
Ville Husso, if he was to be healthy and play in Detroit, maybe that's the guy that you look at and you say, hey, he could be a backup. But Detroit's got four goalies on their roster. Why? Because I think there's a big question mark on Ville Husso. A guy I really like is Kevin Lankinen, but he finds himself kind of on the outside, you know, like.
Isn't it amazing? Like remember my rant about 55 games ago as it pertained to the Sabres, you know, the people that weren't particularly high on Lukanen and were already banishing him from NHL time. And I said, he's played less than 50 NHL games. Let's let it play out a little bit. Who, present company included, could have foreseen that he would be the number two to UC Saros at an international tournament within a year.
And if he's the number two, probably
pretty wild, isn't it?
He probably gets a game in there, like, you know, or it depends how the schedule is and depends how the first two games work out. But if Finland starts the tournament 0-2 and then in the third game they say, let's play Lukanen or whatnot, they could see that happening, getting some experience there.
I just think it's, you know, I think it's a real testament to how Lukanen has persevered. And we'll all await with great interest to see whether this 5-year deal turns out to be the best thing for both the team and the goaltender. But as we established right off the top of the show today, when you go through it team by team and term by term and dollar by dollar, he kind of just slots in where he should at this point in time. Now, in the last 20 years, we could say 25, but if you're thinking Finnish netminders, one of the best would be with our team of the day.
Yes.
Now, in fact, last year alone, he had his number retired by this team.
Yep.
The team of the day is not going to be focused on Mika Kiprusoff, but the Calgary Flames, who lost Dennis Gilbert among many others this offseason, and many wonder, aside from a new arena 3 years from now, just what the immediate future has in store for the Calgary Flames.
Okay, well, the Calgary Flames are a team that it took them probably 5 months later than anticipated to say, hey, we probably are going to start rebuilding and go in a different direction, although they still have some pieces like Jonathan Huberdeau and Nazem Kadri and some guys that have pretty big contracts. But it all looks as though Conroy, the GM of the Flames, is looking at a rebuild right now and really hit the ground running in 2027 when they have their new building and they walk in there. So that's kind of like what this
team is. How many cups will the Oilers have between now and the Flames opening of their new building?
Well, if it was Wayne Gretzky and the 80s Oilers, I'd say 3. It is McDavid and Draisaitl and, you know, more. So I think the Oilers will be one of the favorite pretty much every year until the Flames open up their new building. But, we'll just see. I mean, it changes so quickly in the NHL. But look, the Flames, it's not like they added much either. They added Anthony Manta and Ryan Lomberg and Jake Bean or whatnot, and they lost a few pieces. And you talk about Dennis Gilbert, Dylan Dubé. It's not like they added and lost. They made a decision with Jacob Markstrom, and that to me was the first domino.
And Mangiapane.
And Mangiapane, you're right. So that was the first domino.
And all the moves they made in season last year that didn't net them significant returns.
Yeah, no, they definitely did not get significant returns when they traded Zadorov and then they traded Lindholm, and it was like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the move to trade Matthew Tkachuk a couple of years back is one that right now it started going the wrong direction. You did not get the production from Huberdeau you wanted to. You went and signed Kadri after he won the cup in Colorado. Well, he's still slotted as a third line on that team. I mean,
he's their top center.
Their top point getter last year.
Yes.
He should be a top line center in my mind.
Well, he is.
Yeah, well, who, I don't know. Who, I think were, they got who, right now, they got probably Michael Backlund there. They got Sharon Govich there. They, you know, it's whatever. It's the top three center, and it is what it is.
Okay. Nazem Kadri is not finishing this next season in Calgary, correct?
Well, I didn't think he was going to finish this this offseason.
Well, the summer's only half over, despite what Beck Malenstein and his wife believe. So,
yeah, summer is almost over. I would be on board to say that by the trade deadline, Nazem Kadri will be moved.
He's going to end up back in Toronto, right?
He does have a no trade clause, a no movement clause that would complicate a move. And again, the Calgary Flames are going to be put in a situation where they're going to have to take 50 cents on the dollar on the value of Nazem Kadri. So you got to be careful where you go. But I think there is going to be a team out east, and I'm saying out east because
you would still want him here, right?
I would still want him here. I would still want him here. And look, the Sabres have still some cap space, more than many teams in the National Hockey League. They do have to sign Peyton Krebs. And who knows, maybe they find themselves really jumping out of the gates quickly this year, that by the time we get to the trade deadline, they're looking at a Nazem Kadri and saying, we want to add him. And Kadri looking at the Sabres saying, you know what? Look at where they are now. So I think that's why this season's so important for Buffalo. But a guy like Kadri is going to be wanted everywhere in the National Hockey League. So no, he's not finishing this season with the Calgary Flames.
What would Calgary have to give up with Huberdeau for someone to take him and his contract?
Oh, I would have
because
to
remember they lost out in the Monahan deal by trying to get out from underneath money, right?
Yeah.
And like, I'm just wondering, is it even possible? Because we just said in the last segment, GM's doing other GM's favors.
They like, do. They do that.
What? Like, would you have to give up two first rounders with Huberdeau for somebody to take
I think
a contract?
You're talking a first rounder and a
prospect. Like, you can't do that when you're Calgary, right?
Well, no, because you need your prospect rebuilding. Pool. You need your rebuild. You need your first rounder. But, you know, Jonathan Huberdeau still has some pretty significant, years. He's in year two of his $10.5 million contract. So he had signed an 8-year deal. So he's got 7 years. It's not like you can do what the Sabres did with Jeff Skinner and say, hey, we're going to buy out the last 3 years and we're going to wash our hands from it. I'm sure the Sabres look to trade, look to maybe facilitate something. It didn't happen. You buy him out, you move on. Boom, that's over. In year two of an 8-year deal, you can't do that. That's $10.5 million. That's too much. So you'd have to give up a first rounder and a top end prospect. Wait, again, can Jonathan Huberdeau give you $6 million worth of play? Can he give you $7 million worth of play? Not 10 and a half. Can he give you like where you're not losing the majority of the money? You're just losing, you know, a three. It's like burying a player in the minors. Like the Florida Panthers had $3+ million in buried cap money with Spencer Knight last year, right? But you're like, okay, we're going to manage our cap in that way. The Calgary Flames can say, yeah, we're overpaying Jonathan Huberdeau right now, but he's given us $7 million worth of value right now, which maybe is 65 to 70 points. Maybe he doesn't get 100 points. That's fine, but he's got to give him something in return. They can't move him. It's impossible to move him.
If they retain half, can they move him?
Half for 7 years? Well, 6 years after this year? That's $5 million on the cap that you don't have with the cap going up. I think it would be better for the Calgary Flames to manage Jonathan Huberdeau and try to get some value out of it now. I think if you're going to retain and if you're going to look to buy out, you still have a couple of years before you get to that point. Retaining on 4 years left, that's okay. Buying out with 4 years left when you're in desperate mode, maybe you do that. But you're not doing it in year two and three.
Today is July 25th. We have an open house coming up this Saturday at the arena. Check out available full, half, and quarter season seat locations. You can learn more about member benefits and exclusive perks. Check out unique merchandise as well. Not sure if there's any Baron skates, tape, or sticks left over, but nope. We have game-used equipment for purchase while supplies last. Sabres.com/openhouse. We'll wrap up, as we always do, Sabres Live after this.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Rapid fire time, as always, drafted in 2021. He is 21 today. A really nice, pleasant surprise last year. Nikita Novikov with the Rochester Americans. Nice. He had some really nice underlying numbers. Coaching staff used him really well, and he just kept going and going and going. Fabulous to think of what the Amerks defense corps can look like in the next couple of years, including this one with the youth they have on the blue line. So happy birthday, Nikita Novikov. Marty, we're down to less than 90 seconds, so that leaves just enough time for the debut in 2024 of your Olympic Minute.
Olympic Minute. Well, first of all, I forgot on Tuesday to give my prediction for the year against the Boston Bruins, which was 2-2 on the season. I think the Sabres are going 2-0 against the Calgary Flames this year. So right now they're 6-2 after 8 games. Yeah, if I do it correctly.
Against Anaheim, season. Boston, and Calgary.
And Calgary, yeah. They're 6-2, 12 points. Let's keep going. Okay, Olympic Minute. Well, yesterday there was some soccer. The U.S. lost to France 3-0 in men's soccer. Today there is some archery, some handball, some soccer. Hey, Team Canada women's soccer, by the way, under investigation after they may have flown a drone over to watch the New Zealand practice.
I think it's pretty clear they did.
Well, if there was a drone out there, it had to be. But anyway, they're up 2-1 right now on New Zealand. So maybe it worked. They are the defending Olympic gold medalist from 2020, which was in 2021, by the way. But yeah, and tomorrow is the opening ceremonies, which is not in a stadium, Duffer. It's going to be up the Seine, the river there. It's going to be a little odd. So I'm looking forward to watch that tomorrow night.
How clean will the river be, and how much can we drone on and on about the Olympics? We'll see you tomorrow.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.